Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22. Let's read. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense which I offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today. And I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. And also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus, in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. And it came about that I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me beheld the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At the very time I looked up at him. And he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. And for you will be a witness for him for to all men that you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And it came about when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance. And I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept you, your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in thee. And when the blood of thy witness, Stephen, was being shed, I also was standing by, approving and watching out for the cloaks of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And they listened to him up to this statement. And then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks, stating that he should be examined by scourging, so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him that way. And when they stretched him out with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. And the commander came and said to him, Tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, Yes. And the commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. And Paul said, But I was actually born a citizen. Therefore, those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him. And the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had put him in chains. But on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the council to assemble and brought Paul down and set him before them. Amen. The book of Acts is written by Luke, and Luke writes Acts. This is part two of a two-part volume, so it was Luke, the book of Luke, and then it's Acts. Luke is not giving us a pure history of the events that are taking place. He's actually telling a story to Theophilus. You know, this is the same greeting in both books, in Luke and in Acts, and he's just telling a whole story about the rise of the church. Two major themes that will be continually pressed through, especially here in Acts, is the rejection of the gospel by the Jewish leaders and those in Jerusalem, and the acceptance of the gospel by those in Rome and the Gentiles, you know, all over Europe in this area. And these will be, you know, pretty much the major theme. And what Luke is trying to do, he's not trying to write a position paper or anything else, but he's just trying to explain the beginnings of the early church. You know, and he writes some things in great detail, and what we're witnessing here from about chapter 21, verse 17 to close to the end of the book, we're getting a very, very vivid detail of exactly what happens. And because it's, again, the major theme of the rejection of the gospel by the Jewish leaders, especially in Jerusalem. You know, but it's not a full history. He's not here to write a history of the church. And so if that's what you're expecting, you're going to be very disappointed. You know, there's like major questions that come up from, you know, from the book of Acts. Like, you know, how did the elders come about? You know, all of a sudden, they just pop up out of nowhere. You know, how does James, you know, become one of the preeminent leaders in the church? You know, who, you know, only years before was, you know, ridiculing his own brother, right, when he went back to Nazareth. And so, you know, we see there's a lot of gaping holes in the book of Acts because it's not a pure history. It's a story, right? And the major story that he wants to share is that the gospel spread. It went to Jerusalem first, right? It went to the Jews. They rejected it. And now the gospel is going to the Gentiles, right? And so this is basically what we have here. And we'll be playing this out, actually, for the next few days until we get to chapter 27. And, you know, it changes now as the gospel is now being received in Rome. And so chapter 22 is Paul's defense before the Jews. I want you to see something, you know, throughout this time here. Paul... He, and I don't know, you can call it a weakness maybe, you know, I don't know what you can call it, but Paul is always insistent, if you go through the book of Acts, he's always insistent on speaking to the Jewish leaders. Why? Right? Because Paul, he realizes, and to a certain extent it's true, he is the perfect candidate. You know what I mean? I mean, Paul's in his own mind, he's thinking, if any of these guys can speak to these guys, if anyone, they will believe what is spoken, surely he's thinking it's me. Remember in in Philippians chapter 3, he says, you know, he's the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to zeal, he's a Pharisee. I mean, you know, this guy is the man trained under, you know, the top scholar of his day, the top rabbi of his day, Gamaliel. You know, had an order, orders, right? Papers from, you know, the synagogue to go and basically round up, you know, people that were part of the way, bring them back to Jerusalem to try them. Even he was even standing there when Stephen was being stoned. And the significance about this is like, what's the big deal? So he's holding some coats. The significance is under Jewish law, right? You are innocent until you're proven guilty. Right, very similar to, you know, the United States, and in fact, a lot of, you know, our legal system stems actually more from the Jewish system here. You know, and so they had to be put to trial, the accusers had to come, and they had to, you know, basically able to address the accusers. Now, obviously, when Stephen is being stoned, he has no opportunity whatsoever. Right? I mean, they just do it right on the spot, but it's because Paul, as a synagogue official, is standing right there approving of this whole procedure, right? They're able to freely, without conscience, kill Stephen. You know, and so we see that, I mean, he's playing a huge part, right? He's an ambassador, you know, of all these chief priests and the Sanhedrin, you know, to carry out, you know, the kind of the strong arm of the law there, and he's thinking, if anyone can speak to these guys, right, Paul's thinking, it has to be me. You know, and you'll see time and time again, you know, through the book of Acts, he speaks eloquently, you know, he speaks, you know, in their own language, right, he speaks in a way that they understand, and they still reject him over and over and over again. You know, and even, you know, he makes mention, look at verse 18, he goes to Jerusalem, he's in a trance, he's praying, and God appears to him, and he begins to speak to him, Jesus begins to speak to him, and then, you know, it basically says, you need to leave Jerusalem right away, right? You need to go, you know, their people will not accept your testimony, and what does Paul do? Does Paul obey? No. Paul argues, right? Paul sits there and says, but Lord, surely, it's me. You know, I was there. They're the ones who sent me. You know, I stood when Stephen, you know, was being stoned. You know, they'll accept my background, my testimony, my pedigree, my lineage, you know, my experience, you know, and yet time and time again, right, it doesn't happen. You know why? This key is in verse 21. Jesus finally says, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles, right? You know, Paul, he wasn't necessarily the wrong man for this job. Paul was the right man for another job. All right, do you understand the difference? Right? In Paul's mind, in Paul's, you know, wisdom, right? no one could do this better than Paul can. And then, you know, honestly, we look at it ourselves, you know, with our own rationale, and we think, yeah, surely a guy that was commissioned by the Sanhedrin, right, a guy that went after people of the way, surely this guy would be the one that could share this testimony and the Jews would get saved. You know, and we think, yeah, it just makes perfect sense. But see, it doesn't make perfect sense in God's economy because that wasn't his call. Right, his call was to the Gentiles. It wasn't that God forgot about the Jews, because God had Peter, right? God had the other apostles. He had James. You know, he had people, you know, that ministered primarily in Jerusalem, right? But Paul's calling was to go to the Gentiles. You know, and this should speak to us in some ways, because, you know, have you ever had a time, you know, where seemingly everything seemed to make sense? You know, we even spiritualize a lot of stuff. You know, we get in these bad relationships and we think, oh no, but God brought this person along just at the right time. You know, the Lord, you know, even, you know, someone even came and prayed for me about something, and, you know, and yet it's so frustrating, this relationship, right? Because it's not, because we've been basically operating on our own will. You know, we look about, think about jobs or other situations, and we think, surely this is perfect situation for me. You know, this is, you know, what I'm called to, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not really what you're called to. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Right? If we continue, and this is what Paul was doing, Paul was leaning on his own understanding. Nothing quite wrong with that, right? Except major frustration. You know, time and time again, he gets turned away, he gets beat up. You know, honestly, like, Paul could save himself a lot of beatings if he just simply went to the Gentiles. You know what I mean? Like, the Gentiles are not beating him up. You know, it's the Jews. Right? And I mean, you know, or it's the Jews stirring up the Gentiles, you know, to do that. And it's just crazy. But he is so insistent, you know, on what he feels is right. And I know the last 2 days, it seems like I'm drawing a very bad picture of Paul. I'm not, you know, but just stating the case and just throwing it out there for you guys to see. Right? But you know, he is so insistent, you know, about ministering to the Jews when his call was to the Gentiles. You know, in that same way that we become so insistent on something, you know, and you know, as we feel like, oh no, Lord, I'm the perfect candidate, you know, surely, you know, I'm the one, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, this happens. And it doesn't happen. Think about this, right? Think about in our own families. You know, you think surely, right, because I'm the son of my father, or, you know, I'm the brother of so and so, right? Surely if I get saved, you know, and I could share the gospel, you know, and surely they will receive me, you know, and whatnot. And a lot of times we find out that's not true at all, right? That in fact, it becomes even more antagonistic, you know, in many ways. You know, and Paul has this insistence, like, well, I'm one of them. You know, surely I can do this thing. But see, he was just the right person for another task, right? And it's a good reminder for us, right, that we operate out of God's wisdom and not out of our own. You know, I mean, if you want to be continually frustrated, sure, keep doing what you're doing, right? Keep following, right, what you feel is your expertise or whatnot. But if you really want to be used by God in a powerful way, right, stick to the call that God has on your life. Right? Don't try to do something else or be someone else. You know, even though Paul seems so perfect for this job, right, even though Paul seemed just ideally suited for this, you know, we find that he fails again, miserably, again and again and again. And that should give us some insight in our life. If we're, you know, if we're in a situation, you know, a relationship or a job or a ministry or whatever the case may be, and we find ourselves being frustrated over and over and over and over again, right? It could be that God has something else in store for us, right? And then we need to quiet ourselves, right, and figure out what that is. And instead of arguing with God, you know, about these matters, that we just listen and obey. You know, can you imagine Paul sitting here arguing with the Lord Jesus Christ, right, about his call in life? You know, and he finally has to say, listen, bro, you need to go to the Gentiles, man. All right, that's what your ministry's at. And if you look through the book of Acts, he is so fruitful, right? You know, so fruitful ministering to the Gentiles. I mean, it's amazing. He goes and spends a few moments here and there, and churches, boom, boom, just popping up all over the place. You know, again, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Do not lean on your own understanding. And a lot of times, this will really be the reason why we make the mistakes that we make as Christians. Now, I'm not talking about sin, okay? You know, sin is a whole different matter. But in the area of discernment and, you know, these things, this is one of the reasons why we tend to make mistakes, is because we lean on our own understanding. You know, some things seem so clear to us, right, that we don't even bother to ask the Lord, right? And so we just go ahead and do it and whatnot, and then we recognize that we just presumed on God, you know, and we just stumbled, right? Don't do that, right? Don't do that, right? Don't lean on your own understanding, right? Acknowledge God and trust Him, and He will make that path straight for us. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. Is there anything right now in your life, relationship, ministry, something work-related, something family-related that is extremely, extremely frustrating? It could be a couple different things, right? It could be spiritual warfare. It could be the enemy is just on it, on you, on the situation. Right? That is very possible, and really most likely, most probable. The other scenario, right, could be that it's actually God, right, that we have involved ourselves in something that was not His will, and He's trying to redirect us, right, into His purposes yet again. And it's no sense arguing with God or explaining to God the perfectness of this situation, but to just obey and listen and move forward by getting out of the relationship, by switching, right? Not necessarily jobs, but, you know, could be in that way as well. You know, regearing ourselves to a different ministry or whatnot. If we find that again and again that we're hitting walls, it could be the enemy. Yeah, it could be, right? And maybe we need to break the wall down. It could be. But also could be the Lord. You might find yourself fighting against the Lord. And so, what do we need? We need discernment. We need God to speak to us, right? That we know what course and what track to take. Either we bust that wall down, right? Or we take a detour, which really gets us on the right path. We need God's wisdom. And as Jesus leads us in a song this morning, let's cry out for the wisdom of God. Let's cry out for the wisdom that is far surpasses our own knowledge. Right, the foolishness of God, it says, does not even compare, right, to the wisdom of man. Pray together. Let's pray for the wisdom of God to be expressed in our lives. Let's pray that we would not lean on our own understanding, and that if we're in a situation that's that's a bit troubling, that's perplexing, let's cry out for God's wisdom to come. Let's pray that we would be true to the call that God has put upon our lives, individually and also as a church. All right, that we just follow after what the Lord wants and not what we want. Go from a self-centered reality to a God-centered reality. Well, let's pray for ourselves and our community in that way. Let's pray for the immediate needs of our community. Let's continue to lift up Charles Han's dad, who's in the very late stage of esophageal cancer. Let's pray for Hai-ji's uncle, who's in a very late stage of lung cancer. Let's pray for Chris's aunt, Alex's dad, who's going through the chemo for his stomach cancer. Pray for Janine, that she would fully recover as she goes through her chemotherapy. Pray for Matthew Doble's aunt. Pray for my aunt, Janella's grandma. Kian's mom. Pray for Belinda to be fully restored after her surgery. Pray for Alan Lunsford, who had a stroke. Let's continue to lift up Misan's dad, who had a successful tumor surgery. Pray for Katie Chen. She believes God's healed her of her heart. Pray for a good report from the doctor. Pray for Lizzie, is Charles Kim's niece, who has a brain tumor. Pray for the Wagners, Peter and Doris, over their health situations, and Connie's aunt for her breast cancer. Let's also lift up our friends that are looking for work and in the final stages of interviews and whatnot. Pray for Mark Starnes, Sujin, John Kang, Katharina, and Vivian. Let's lift up our friends and our parents and whatnot who are ill, and let's ask the Lord to heal and to touch. And let's pray for our community. Let's go over our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh. Pray that he would finish his PhD soon. And, you know, his work is in dealing with Christianity and missions in Cambodia. Let's pray that his research really impacts the country. Pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. Pray for their ministry. Pray for the Centerpiece Orphanage. And lastly, let's lift up Grace Chung and Bloom. Pray for the girls and the staff there, that they would continue to grow, that God would just really do a lot of healing in their lives and would use grace powerfully to that end. Let's lift up Cambodia. Let's pray for the Fabian ministry, the Indonesian ministry. Pray for Pastor Salamat and the congregants. Let's pray that God would continue to use them and all throughout Hong Kong to minister to the Indonesian community. Let's pray for the Korean church as well, that God would use that church to minister to the Korean community, and that we would see the Spirit of the Lord working through both ministries, through both leaders. Let's lift up these ministries. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up our IP team. Pray for Matt and other intercessors. Pray that they would just continue to grow in the knowledge of God and just be trained in the things of the Spirit. Let's pray for Cascade. Pray for Leanne. Ask God to continue to use her and the team to minister effectively to everyone that needs prayer in that area. Pray for The Well. Lift up Larry and pray for the team that they would be effective in prayer, that many people would be healed regularly. And God would use them powerfully. And so let's lift up these ministries and the members that are serving in these ministries and ask God to just bless and protect them. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's pray for Kenny Ye in Japan. You can read the request there on the screen. Let's pray that he would finish strong in Japan, finish well. He also has an interview later this month here in Hong Kong with Swire for a leadership training program, and he really believes God has promised that to him. So let's pray that the interviews and everything goes well, that he as he makes his way back to Hong Kong at the end of this year. So let's just lift Kenny up before the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray for our sister Angie. Let's pray for her future husband, our house church. Angie, what's BAS? Huh? Oh, accountability group. Okay, thanks. Right, in our Sunday school, pray for salvation of our family. And you can read the requests on there. Just lift up Angie before the Lord. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that, Lord, that you offer to us, God, your wisdom. Lord, anytime we ask, Lord, James tells us if we lack wisdom, just to ask, God. And so, Lord, we're asking and we're crying out to you, Lord, and we're saying, God, that we want to just operate, God, out of your will, God, out of your design, not out of what looks good to us, God, or by our own understanding, Lord. And so lead us and guide us, God. Lord, we bless you today. Use us, God, to bring glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we want to pray for three people every day, and so we don't have enough prayer requests from people. So please do send your prayer requests to Bonnie. You can go online and get her email, and so we can keep lifting up our church members, okay? Amen.